are going to look at in a certain part of the Bible. You know, sometimes when you go to the grocery store, you go to the fruit department. Well, if you go to Galatians, you're going to find the fruit department there. Well, we're going into the produce department today. And that is in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll show you why it's the produce department. And although there is many produce here, one in particular, there's only one verse that I really want to look at. Hebrews chapter 10. Again, my wife goes, why do you always tell them what version you're using? I don't know if that irritates her or what, but I tell you that so you have an understanding of where I'm reading from, because sometimes, you know, we're all using different versions. I have the King James and the NIV parallel here, so I can flip back and forth. But I'm going to use the NIV again. And I know our brother Charles uses the ESV and Abe. What version do you use usually?
James. Today.
Oh, today. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the reason I call this the produce department, we're gonna look at some lettuce. Okay? In verse 22, in the NIV it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So see, we're talking a little bit about lettuce here. That's why we're in the produce department. But there's one verse in particular I want to look at, and that's verse 24. And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The word spur really caught my attention, and that was my focal point for a little bit. You need me to yell down there?
If possible.
Oh. I guess I don't need to yell. When I look at this verse, it says, let us consider. So I looked up the word consider. Kataneo, which as soon as I see the E-H in there, I'm reminded of Canada again. I'm sorry. Canada, eh? But the word means to observe fully, to discover, perceive, or contemplate. So let us observe fully, or let us discover. Okay, so then I ask myself the question, discover what? Well, then I go to the next word, and it says, let us consider how. So I looked up the word how. And it means in what way or by what means. So we're to discover by what means or in what way what? So I ask myself the question, what am I discovering to try to do here? What, by what means? And it says, how we may spur. Now look up the word spur. And it's very similar to what the King James says. Provoke. Now, a lot of times when we think of the word provoke, we think, oh, you provoke me to anger. You provoke me to wrath. You provoke me to get upset. You provoke me to say things that... But, you know, there's also the positive side, which we rarely look at, to provoke. To provoke a person unto love and the good works. To provoke a person unto love and good deeds. To provoke a person in the right direction, in the right way. And that's the thought here. It's in the right sense. The word provoke in the Zodiades is... Para exumo. Okay, it's a masculine noun from the word para, exuno, to stir up, to provoke in a good sense. Para implying movement toward a certain point, which means a goal, para means implying, putting movement towards a goal. And then ox uno, to sharpen, incite, and sometimes irritate. And that's how come we use the word provoke in a negative sense, because sometimes it does mean to irritate. And you can provoke somebody and really irritate them. But that's not the thought here. You don't want to irritate somebody to good works. You don't want to irritate somebody to love. We're not trying to irritate anybody. We are trying to incite them. And it's not like inciting a riot, but it's inciting them to the goal. Now, there's still some more words here. Metaphorically, it means to sharpen the mind, to impel, urge, push, or drive into emotion, which means, simple word, motivate. Spur basically means motivate. To encourage. New Living Translation uses the word motivate and means to encourage or urge. The New American Standard uses the word stimulate, which means to arouse, quicken the senses, or activity, to excite a nerve or an organ. The Holman Christian Standard Bible uses the word promote, to encourage progress, to advance to a higher status. Now, I'm really digging deep into this word, aren't I? Weymouth New Testament says arousing, to evoke a reaction, an emotion, or a response. That is kind of awakening from a sleep, to get a response. So, you say we're supposed to spur one another. Now, that doesn't mean that you put the spurs on your boots and you start digging in your heels to people. It's the exact opposite of that. It's to encourage. Encourage to the goal. Encourage onward to the goal. To encourage on toward love. Agape. The love of God. True love. Love that is deep and love that cares. Good. Kalos, meaning well-doing, and works, ergon, to work, or performance, the ability to perform. So, I wrote it out. I think this is the hardest part of my message, because it's probably the most boring in some ways. But if you can get through this with me, this is really the basis for what I'm going to speak on. I need to discover in what way I can motivate fellow believers toward the goal of true love and care and performing works of well-doing. Okay, I'm going to read that again, because when you look at the meaning of all these words, I put it down like this. I need to discover, or let us discover, in what way we can motivate fellow believers toward the goal of true love and care in performing works of well-doing. I have a handout that I will give you shortly. Because I figured I didn't know if anybody would be taking notes, but if you were, you wouldn't have to when I give you the handout. you can write down things about the first part here, because it's not on the handout. But when I saw the word spur, it did make me think about, I have horses, and so it does make me think about my horses and how they respond and how they need taught and how they need trained and how they need a relationship. There are so many things that you can learn from horses that sometimes we just miss when we're dealing with people. But it was interesting that the NIV uses the word spur on one another. It doesn't say spar with one another. You know, when you think of sparring, it's like in boxing, you're training, and so you're kind of hitting one another. It might just be lightly, but it's the thought of taking a swing. We're not to spar with one another. That's not what the Word of God is saying. We're to spur on each other, not spar with each other. And the words are close in the English. I was thinking of a couple of examples of how in my life I have spurred people on. Okay, I've got some grandsons. They play soccer. This isn't the only thing, but this was one thing that came to my mind. And so when I'm sitting on the sidelines, there's times I'm shouting at them, "Get the ball!" You know, two of them are 5 years old. One of them is pretty focused, and the other one is picking up the grass and throwing it in the air. Or if an airplane goes over by, they're watching the airplane, and the ball goes right past. "Get the ball! Look, the ball's right there! Get it!" So I'm spurring them on to get the ball. There's times that they've got the ball and they're running towards the goal and kick it, go ahead, kick it. You know, you're spurring them on. You're encouraging them. They may not even hear you, but you're sitting on the sidelines and you're so excited that your grandson's got the ball and he usually doesn't, and all he's got to do is kick the ball. So just kick it, please. And so you're spurring him on, whether he knows it or not. There's another time that I recall. If you remember, we had some German exchange student girls here. And Mia, she was the younger one, the smaller one. But she joined track and field. And I remember the school going up against seven other schools. It was a competition. Or maybe there were six other schools because there were seven altogether. And I remember she was in a relay race. And, you know, she was pretty fit. And so she would go to school and train on the track team and stuff, and they did the relay race. And I remember when it was Mia's time, she was the second or third, I think she was the third runner on the team out of four, and I remember seeing her just straining. They were behind, just straining and putting all her effort into it. The veins, when she went past us, the veins were popping out of her head. She was putting so much effort into it, and we were going, "Go, Mia, go!" And Mia actually passed two other teams and help catch up. They didn't get first place. I think they got second or third, but she put so much effort into it. And my wife and I are on the sidelines just spurring her on. Now, whether she heard us or not, I don't know. But we were there. And I think just the fact that we were there was an encouragement to her. Just being there. We didn't even have to really say anything. She was just encouraged by the fact that we were there supporting her and her team. But then I think of the third thing. When I think of a spur, and Phil, I'm going to call on you for a minute. Phil's a wonderful horse trainer. As far as knowledge of training horses, I'm here and Phil's here. Okay, so I'm going to call on Phil. Just can you tell us what spurs look like and what are they used for?
It's usually a piece of metal that goes on your boot, which is usually the lowest part of your body on the horse's belly. It's got sometimes just has a metal ball, and sometimes it's got like a rowel, which is a disc of metal. Initially, they're used just to make the horse go, because a lot of times they get deadened. The horse gets deadened to just your legs there. But then as training progresses, so initially it's just to make them go, just get them moving. And then after that, as the horse is well trained, it's just the main goal of the spur is to lift their belly and to make the horse engage itself. So basically, to get the horse to use itself, not just go forward, but to lift up their belly and make them engage their feet properly or just use themselves properly.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Is the spur on your boot to pierce the horse and hurt it? No. No. And sometimes we, as believers, unfortunately, we hurt each other, don't we? We put a lot of pressure on people. We say things we shouldn't say. I haven't actually noticed that a whole lot here, which I'm really thankful for. But I know it's so easy to pierce somebody's heart with a word. with a wrong attitude. But that's not the purpose of the spur. The spur is to motivate. Simply to help the horse, if you're a cowboy with spurs, to get up and go. That's all. So, with that being said, there's a Psalm 121 and verse 2, and it says, "My help comes from the Lord." Our help, no matter what we do, I'm gonna hand out some stuff. In fact, some brother want to help pass these out. This is where I'm going with this. You can give one to each person. I did not feel comfortable with my message, and I really was struggling, and was spending time before the Lord about it. And whether or not this is wonderful stuff or not, that doesn't matter. But God all of a sudden just started pouring things into my mind and heart, and I started writing them down. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit of God moved me and I wrote as the Spirit of God. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I believe God helped me in creating this list. And I was very at peace about speaking on this subject because of what I believe God gave me here. What we have is the question, how can I encourage others? We need to be positive. We need to be helpful. There's verses that I have put alongside that we may or may not read. The clock is always my opposer, my adversary. But the first thing is, at church, how can I encourage others at church? Number one, the first thing I wrote down was, you could tell people or mention to people how nice they look. And in fact, somebody did that to me today. So I appreciate that. But you can tell them, you know, hey, your hair looks really nice today, or hey, I like your shoes, or whatever. But, you know, let them know that you're glad to see them. And don't say it with like, hey, man, I'm glad to see you. Yes, it's been great, and I'm glad to see you. You know, smile, be encouraging, uplifting. The second thing was talk to others. Sometimes I know there's people, and I've seen it, you know, you stand back and you talk with your spouse or a family member, but you're really not engaging with anyone else in the congregation. And it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, you know, nobody came and talked to me. Well, maybe I can help motivate you to go and talk to somebody rather than you standing back and saying, well, you know, I was waiting for somebody, but they didn't come. In other words, it's a two-way street. So let's approach somebody else and start up a conversation. Then, if you want the conversation to go well, all you got to do is ask somebody about their family. Well, you ask a mother about their kids. I'll tell you what, you better have a half an hour or 45 minutes. Because that's, in most cases, in a lot of cases, that's number one priority. So I have here, approach somebody, start a conversation, and then the third thing is, ask people about their family and be prepared to listen at length. The fourth thing is, thank people for what they do. Well, what do you mean, thank people for what they do? Well, I'll put some things down here. You know, the people that clean the chapel. When was the last time you thanked somebody for cleaning the chapel? Well, hold on. I don't remember ever doing that myself. And I want you to know that this list wasn't made up so that you all need to do it. This list was made up because, wow, God is showing me so many things I need to do that I'm not doing. And hopefully it'll encourage us all. You know, when was the last time you thanked somebody for bringing the snacks or making the food or at the potluck or any work that's done around the grounds, the song leaders, the piano player? When was the last time you thanked the piano player and said, man, that was great, or woman, that was great. That was wonderful. I just really appreciate you taking the time to do that for us. You know, they have a gift from God to be able to do that. I can't do that. I can't play the piano. Maybe Brother Jan can, but I can't. He can probably sing well, too, on solos and stuff. Maybe not. The Sunday school teachers. When was the last time you thanked a Sunday school teacher for teaching something to your child? See, there's so many things that we could be doing to motivate each other, to encourage one another, to say, hey, they really care about me. They really think about what I'm doing. They're praying for me. They're encouraging me. You see, this is where we need to be. The leaders, number five, the leaders. Thank them for their leadership. Be obedient to their decisions, for they care for our souls. And if you read Hebrews, that's exactly what it says. They will give an account to God for our souls. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, they won't let us do that. Or, I don't like that decision. Or, that person, yeah, they didn't handle that situation very good. Well, when was the last time you got on your knees and prayed for them? When was the last time you thanked them for the decisions they do make? When was the last time you thanked God for their leadership, realizing that they don't care about your money? They care about your soul. They're here to help us and to guide us and to lead us, that we might be better Christians, that we might be from good to great in God's eyes. Okay, the believers. When was the last time you thanked anyone for just listening in a conversation? When was the last time you prayed for the other believers? When was the last time you prayed for all the believers? When was the last time you thanked somebody for their advice? You say, well, you know, that's simple stuff, Bob. When was the last time we did it? You see, these are encouraging things. This is what we need. We need to spur each other on so that this congregation here is going to be one day an amazing testimony. People flowing out the doors because they know that Christ is in our midst. And that we love each other. And that we love the Lord. The adult Sunday school and family Bible hour teachers, encourage them, thank them, mention something that you appreciated that they spoke about or that spoke to you personally. You could have a discussion with them afterwards, whether you agree or disagree. You don't want to always approach somebody when only you disagree. We want to be encouragers. It doesn't mean that you can't disagree, and it doesn't mean you can't talk about the disagreements. But let's talk about the positive things, too. And I made a note here, because I thought, you know, when you teach from the Word of God, like our brother Anil today, that's an intense chapter. In fact, that's an intense book. A.W. Tozer is an intense writer. He's an intense Christian. He wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to know more deeply, and he wanted to live for the Lord, and he wanted to be able to express that. And so he's gotten into things that most people don't get into. And now we're studying and learning about that. But it takes time. This is what I wrote. Teaching the Word takes time. It takes effort. Like our brother Anil just didn't get up here and say, well, you know, I didn't even look at the chapter, but here it goes. You got to spend time. You have to be reading. You have to be studying. You have to be praying. And you absolutely need help from God. So I thought to myself, you know, that's a lot. But if you look at my next note, this is what came to my mind. Note, being a mom or dad takes this and more. And sometimes we forget that. So my hat is off to you ladies, especially you ladies that have more than one child. I don't know how you do it. And I've said this from platform, before. I've said it 100 more times than I've said it plenty of times. But these big football players and guys that, if you ever see them on TV or at a game or something, they're not going, hey, dad, hi. They're not doing that. I mean, they may be more now, but when I remember watching stuff, which I haven't recently, but it's like, hi, mom. Hi, mom. Why? Because in most cases, the mother spends the most time with the child, and she's the most influential person in their life. And so, for any of you mothers that think that, you know, you're just a stay-at-home mom or you're just a mom, no, it's not just. It's the greatest privilege and the greatest work that can be done on the face of the earth. Raising your children for the Lord. Okay, point B. And again, there's verses that could be read in connection with these things, but if I read the verses, I'm not going to get through this. during the week. In other words, the first one, point A, was at church. We can do these things at church. Point B, during the week, you can communicate with one another. And I'm thankful there are some believers here that do text me, that do phone me, that do email me. And I appreciate that, because the first thing that comes to my mind was they were thinking about me. And then if they send me a text and say, I've been praying for you, they're not just thinking about me, they're bringing me before the throne of grace. And I appreciate that. Now, what we need to do is get, and I know Brother Tom in the past has given out, you know, a little pamphlet with all the believers and all the people's names and phone numbers and cell phones, some emails, but we need to get that updated so that we can start doing that amongst us all the time. Not just this week I did this, I communicated with this one brother, and a month ago I communicated with this one person. And we need to be motivating each other. And the second thing is spending time together during the week. This is difficult, especially when we're all spread out. But you know how I get things accomplished in my business? I schedule it. I make a schedule. I have a schedule. If I'm going to be on a job on a certain day, I try to give myself a couple of days so that if something happens at the previous job, I still can get there on time. It doesn't always work. But I want you to know, if we start scheduling time together as believers, we can do it. But if you don't schedule it and you say, you know, we need to get together sometime, it doesn't happen. So we need to schedule it. We need to visit one another, spend time with one another. Then point C, monthly. Visit. Have someone over to your house. Go out with someone. If you're married, that doesn't mean that you're a woman, you go out with another man. It doesn't mean that, okay? It means that if you're a woman and you need time away, maybe the husband can stay home and you can go out with another lady. We need to keep things in perspective here, you know, to abstain from all appearance of evil. We don't want Satan to get a foothold. You can have a hymn sing. I know the Jamesons have done that a few times, and I think maybe the Perels have too. I'm not sure if anyone else has offhand. Literals did, and they have. You can have a small Bible study, a Bible discussion. You can watch a movie together, and I put on here rated PH. You want to make sure you get a movie rated PH, pure and holy. Okay? Because if you just watch any movie, you're going to wish a lot of them you didn't watch. Maybe bake together. I know my wife has done this for a lot of Christmases. Have a lot of girls and women over, and they'll bake Christmas cookies every Christmas. I don't think they did it last year, but you can do stuff like that. I mean, there's things that we can do. We can spend time together. I've gone golfing with a couple of the fellows from here a few years ago. Haven't been out since. Didn't realize what a bad golfer I was, but my brother Neil was one of them. He's never asked me back. Okay, number two, a meal. You could take a meal to someone's house. You could eat a meal out with somebody or with another family, whatever. You could have a potluck at your house. In fact, I've seen this done before, and I've been a partaker of it up in Canada. We had, as young believers, young married couples, we had meals, parts of meals at different homes. And we would go to one home for an appetizer. Then everyone would leave that home and go to the next house for, you know, soup or whatever. Then we would leave that home and go to the next house for the main course. And then we'd leave that home and go to the next house for dessert. And, I mean, it was different, but it was neat. It was exciting. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But it was wonderful. It was a great time of fellowship. So we need to be creative. Number three, you can help. Now, there's the gift of helps, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. But you know what? Do I have to be a chef, a certified culinary expert, to do some cooking? I don't. I don't. Do I have to have the gift of helps to help? I don't. You see, we can all be involved. You don't have to have the gift of helps to help somebody. You don't have to be a certified culinary chef to do some cooking. I don't have to be a Holy Spirit-filled, called overseer to care about somebody. You see, we can all be involved. We can all be doing these things. You can loan... Number three, let's go back. Babysit, to let a couple go out. You could go over and play games with the family. I have to admit, I don't do that with you guys here, but we do that with our kids, okay? In particular, well, you know, we got Heidi and there's two little boys there, and we got Matt and Becca and there's two boys there, and we do that. We go over and play games with them. We have them over to our house and play games. We babysit for them when they want to go out sometimes, but more than just my immediate family, I need to be reaching out to you guys. I do. I know that. And God is putting these things in my heart and mind so that I can start where I haven't done. We can all start. You can help fix somebody's car if you're mechanically inclined and somebody needs help. You can help repair somebody's home, or you can help with the gardening or house cleaning, or whatever. We can all help each other. It's a matter of taking the time to do it and being caring for one another instead of just about ourselves. Number four, you can loan books, or you can add them to the library back there. Thank you, Phil, again. Appreciate that. You can loan tools, or you can even loan your vehicle. Oh, I can't loan my vehicle, man. I just bought that thing. That thing's brand new. I wouldn't dare. Well, whose is this? Is it yours or is it the Lord's? Everything we own, we say, you know, everything I have is God's, but I can't loan my vehicle. Man, that thing's a $35,000, $40,000 vehicle. I just got it. Well, I know there's broke down and they got no. They didn't call a taxi. God's not asking me to do this, really. Come on. Lord, you wouldn't, would you? How much are we attached to our things and think they're ours? You could give a ride to somebody who's in need. Or you could ride somewhere with other people. I know a lot of times different ones go to the same place. Like sometimes we all go to camp. And you have two people in this car and one person in this car and two people in this car, and they're all coming from the same place, going to the same place. But, we're not going to ride together. But we need to. Number six, meet with others just to talk. I've done this a few times with some brothers here. I really appreciate it. It's been marvelous, wonderful times of fellowship. And I hope that we're all going to encourage each other to do this even more. Just go out for breakfast with another brother or another sister. And spend an hour talking and discussing things, encouraging one another. D, talk. Now, we can ask questions. And when you ask a question, that doesn't give you the opportunity to start spewing off and speaking and taking control of the conversation and taking over and telling everything that's going on in your life. When you ask a question, stop and listen. I mean, if somebody asks me a question and I give them an answer and then they start speaking and they go on for 5 or 10 minutes, they didn't really want to hear what I had to say, did they? They weren't really interested in what they asked me. They had something of themselves they wanted to present. And so I have here, you can ask questions like, how is your relationship with the Lord today? Or this week? Or last month? And so I pose the question real quickly. When was the last time you asked another brother or sister that? How are you doing with the Lord? How was your time with the Lord this week? What's your relationship with the Lord this week? What was it like last week? How about last month? You see, encouraging, finding out where people are at, caring about them. Can I help you with anything? Do you want to help? We do want to help, but we don't want to help. So we need to ask, is there anything I can help you with? Is there anything that I can do for you? Then, how are things between you and your spouse? Oh boy, you're opening up a can of worms there. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes you wonder why you're married. You know, marriage is not just a bed of roses. It's not. So that's a question that could be asked. Be willing to share with your own life, but do not dominate the conversation. In other words, be willing to open up about yourself and your own situation. But if you're asking the question, listen, don't talk, or don't talk too much. The other part of this, number two, is a negative discussion. Unfortunately, we all seem to have the ability to talk about others. So the question comes to mind, do you want people talking about you? And the answer is no, I wouldn't want people talking about me. And in all likelihood, you do, and it's fine. But don't tell me about it. Because I might get upset. But don't. This is what I have. Would you want people talking about you? No. So don't do it. Don't do it. Quit talking about people. I'm not even sure that that happens here, okay? But I am going from past experience from even before I came here. Just don't talk about people. Seek to maintain peace and unity of the Spirit. Pray for one another. Help one another. Build one another up. Bless one another. If you have a problem with someone, the Scripture teaches us, and there's verses here, but Matthew 18:15-17, that you go to that person first. If you got a problem with somebody, you go to that person. You don't talk to this person over here about it. You don't talk to this person over here about it. You go to the person you have a problem with. That's what Scripture teaches. Just in closing. There's the fact of accountability. If you're willing to open yourself up with another brother or sister and make yourself accountable. Because sometimes questions can be asked like, how are you doing with the Lord? And instead of saying, oh, I'm doing fine, everything's wonderful. When you are in accountability with somebody else, you just don't give pat answers. You make yourself vulnerable. You open up. And you just don't do this with somebody, you know, I really like them. I think I'm just going to start telling them everything about myself. You don't do that. First of all, you need to find out somebody that you're compatible with, somebody that you can trust, somebody that you can put full trust in, that when you tell them something, they're not going to go home and tell their spouse. They're not going to go to work and tell somebody. They're not going to tell any other believer. Because it's an absolute trust in accountability. But I suggest that we all do that. Because there are times in our lives we're not accountable. We're accountable to God, and we should be accountable about everything we do, but we're not because nobody's asking the questions, nobody's close to us, nobody's connected with us, we're not discussing these things. These are our private problems, our private areas that we don't want anybody to know about. When you become accountable with somebody, all of a sudden, your thinking changes. Boy, if he asks me about that, what am I going to tell him? Well, you know what? I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to read that anymore. I'm not going to look at that anymore. Because now you're becoming accountable. And you have to answer truthfully. To get through that, there's the sharing aspect. I'd like to go to H. I'm going to jump past. The families. I can't say enough about the family. The family is extremely important. You know, God saved us. And God brought us to the assembly here. God has placed us where He wants us, and we're all part of the body of Christ. But you know, a huge responsibility before work, before play. You have the Lord, you have your spouse, and you have your family. And the difference between your spouse and your family is so minimal that your children shouldn't hardly be able to see the difference. But there is a difference. Because God gave you that spouse. And your children are a result of the love between you and your spouse. And now they are a tremendous responsibility. And I believe, and I know some people don't believe there's a distinction, but I believe that there's the Lord, there's the family, and there's the church. That's what I believe. And then there's work and all kinds of things afterwards. So let's not underestimate the family. But the last thing is H, time with God. This is the last that I have on the list, but it's the first in priority. Spending time in the Word, praying, meditating on His Word, thinking about the blessings that God has given you, and very, very important, giving God thanks. Can I do that at home? Yes. Can I do that here? Yes. Can I do that at work? Yes. Can I do that in my car? Yes. Can I do that playing a game? Yes. Can I do that when I'm with my horses? Yes. Giving God thanks. Constantly. Praying to God is not something that we do once a day or twice a day. Praying to God, pray without ceasing. Could be a long prayer, could be a short prayer. I was telling Paul, there's times in my profession, I said, Lord, I can't fix this. Please give me the wisdom. And not every time, but numerous times, thought will pop into my head that I never had about it. And it's like, bam, thank you, Lord. I never thought about that.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing. They're just little prayers sometimes with big answers. We have a big God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that this time together will be a time of soul searching, a time of us becoming excited that we're believers in Christ, that we're all in the body to help each other, to be a blessing to you and to be a blessing to each other. Help us to look at these things and determine from you what you would have us do. Help us not to just pass these things off and cast them away and throw them in the trash, Lord. Help us that our hearts might be touched, that we might be motivated to be a blessing to each other and therefore be a blessing to you. We look to you for guidance and safety throughout the rest of the week. And we thank you for this time now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.